Did the FBI find the guys? Reacher asked. The first time, with Ann? Lane shook his head. But you knew who they were. Not at the time, but you found out later. Did I? Tell me how. It became a threshold question. Who would do such a thing? At first, I couldn't imagine anyone doing it. But clearly someone had, so I revised the threshold of possibilities downward. But then everyone in the world seemed to be a possibility. It was beyond my understanding. You surprise me. You move in a world where hostage-taking and abduction aren't exactly unknown. Do I? Foreign conflicts, Reacher said. Irregular forces. But this was domestic, Lane said. This was right here in New York City. And it was my wife, not me, or one of my men. But you did find the guys. Did I? Reacher nodded. You're not asking me if I think it could be the same people all over again. You're not speculating. It's like you know for sure it isn't. Lane said nothing. How did you find them? Someone who knew someone heard some talk. Arms dealers, up and down their network. And? There was a story about four guys who had heard about a deal I had done and concluded that I had money. What happened to the four guys? What would you have done? I would have made sure they couldn't do it all over again. Lane nodded. Let's just say I'm completely confident that this isn't the same people doing it again. Have you heard any new talk? Reacher asked. Not a word. A rival in this business? I don't have rivals in this business. I have inferiors and junior partners. And even if I did have rivals, they wouldn't do something like this. It would be suicide. They would know that sooner or later our paths would cross. Would you risk antagonizing a bunch of armed men you're likely to stumble across under the radar somewhere in the back of beyond? Reacher said nothing. Will they call again? I think they will. What will they ask for? 10, Reacher said. That's the next step. 1, 5, 10, 20. Lane sighed, distracted. That's two bags, he said. Can't get $10 million in one bag. He showed no other outward reaction. Reacher thought, 1 plus 5 already gone, plus 1 promised to me, plus 10 more, that's $17 million. This guy is right now looking at a running total of $17 million, and he hasn't even blinked yet. When will they call? Lane asked. Drive time plus argument time, Reacher said. Late afternoon, early evening. Not before. Lane kept on swinging his chair through its tiny arc. He lapsed into silence. Then there was a quiet knock at the door, and Gregory stuck his head in the room. I got what we need, he said. To Reacher, not to Lane. The building on Spring Street. The owner is a bankrupt developer. One of his lawyer's people is meeting us there in an hour. I said we were interested in buying the place. Good work, Reacher said. So maybe you should revise what you said about a mirror on a stick. Maybe I should. Maybe I will, one day. So let's go. They were met at the 72nd Street curb by another new BMW 7 Series sedan. This one was black. This time, the driver stayed behind the wheel, and Gregory and Reacher climbed in the back. The woman who was watching the building saw them go, and she noted the time. Chapter 10. The guy from a bankrupt developer's lawyer's office was a reedy paralegal of about 30. His suit pockets were bagged out from all the keys he carried. Clearly, his firm specialized in distressed real estate. Gregory gave him an OSC business card and introduced Reacher as a contractor whose opinion he valued. Is the building habitable? Gregory asked. I mean, as if right now? You worried about squatters being in there? The reedy guy asked back. Or tenants, Gregory said. Or anybody. There's nobody in there, the guy said. I can assure you of that fact. No water, no power, no gas, capped sewer. Also, if I'm thinking of the right building, there's another feature that makes it highly unlikely. He juggled his keys and unlocked the Thompson Street alley gate. The three men walked east together behind the chocolate shop to the Target building's red rear door. "Light," Gregory said. Then he turned to Reacher and whispered,
"If they're in there, we need to think about how we do this. We could get them both killed right here."
"It's unlikely they're in there," Reacher said.
"Plan for the worst," Gregory said.
Reacher nodded, stepped back, and looked up and checked the windows. They were black with filth, and dusty black drapes were drawn tight behind them. Street noise was loud, even in the alley. Therefore, their approach thus far was still undetected.
"Decision?" Gregory asked.
Reacher looked around, pensive, stepped up next to the lawyer's guy.
"What makes you so sure there's nobody in there?" he asked.
"I assure you," the guy said.
He shoved the key in the lock and pushed open the door. Then he raised his arm to stop Gregory and Reacher from crowding in too closely behind him, because the feature that made current habitation of the building unlikely was that it had no floors. The back door was hanging open over a yawning 10-foot pit. At the bottom of the pit was the original basement floor. It was knee-deep in trash. Above it was nothing at all, just 50 feet of dark void, all the way up to the underside of the roof slab. The building was like a giant, empty shoebox set on its end. Stumps of floor joists were faintly visible in the gloom. They had been cut off flush with the walls. The remains of individual rooms were still clearly delineated by patches of different wallpapers and vertical scars where interior partitions had been ripped out. Bizarrely, all the windows still had their drapes.
"See?" the lawyer's guy said. "Not exactly habitable, is it?"
There was a ladder set next to the rear door. It was a tall, old, wooden thing. A nimble person could grasp the door frame and swing sideways and get on it and climb down into the basement trash. Then that person could pick his way forward to the front of the building and root through the garbage with a flashlight and collect anything that had fallen the 13 feet from the letter slot above. Or a nimble person could be already waiting down there and could catch whatever came through the slot like a pop-up in the infield.
"Was that ladder always there?" Reacher asked.
"I don't recall."
"Who else has keys to this place?"
"Everyone and his uncle, probably. This place has been vacant nearly 20 years. The last owner alone tried half a dozen different separate schemes. That's half a dozen architects and contractors and God knows who else. Before that, who knows what went on. The first thing you'll need to do is change the locks."
"We don't want it," Gregory said. "We were looking for something ready to move into, you know. Might be a little paint, but this is off the charts.